Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com. Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
Bush's song, Wuthering Heights. The misty moors of England have long been the lonely terrain inhabited by the Bronte sisters, at least in a popular imagination. The literary trinity, Charlotte, Anne, and Emily, are famous for their best-selling novels and for their mystery. Lucasta Miller's the author of the Bronte myth. She told Anne Strangechamps that the trio wasn't as weird and wild as most people want to believe, no matter what early Bronte biographers had to say.
Anybody who reads Jane Eyre today, as for its first audience in 1847, I mean, I just defy even the most casual reader not to be completely gripped and want to read it to the end. Their books are masterpieces of 19th century literature, but their life story, particularly as portrayed by their first biographer, Elizabeth Gaskell, took on a sort of romantic, almost melodramatic flavour, which captivated the public as much as their books had done.
But that is kind of the portrait a lot of us have grown up with about them, you know, these three weird sisters living out on the windswept moors alone in this bleak parsonage. Is any of this true?
The place where they lived, Haworth, in Yorkshire, was really a sort of industrial township. It backed on, and still does, onto these bleak and beautiful moors, but it wasn't quite as isolated as people were led to believe. I remember being surprised myself the first time I visited it and found that the Bronte Parsonage was literally seconds from the nearest pub and post office. I thought it was going to be this lonely, unprotected, Wuthering Heights-like structure surrounded for miles around by nothing but moor. And the Brontes weren't quite as socially or culturally isolated as has been suggested in the past either. They were incredibly well-read, for example, and had access to the latest periodical literature of their day. They were very culturally connected. And even socially, there were enough people of a professional background, teachers, clergymen in their circle, to mean that they didn't quite lead this very sort of romantic, isolated existence.
Who were the Bronte sisters, and in particular Charlotte and Emily? Because I guess one of the things that's just so fascinating about them and that has led to all these myths is these two ordinary girls could, in one family, write these two novels that became enduring literary classics, some of the greatest things ever written.
Well, I think I'd probably slightly take issue with the idea that they were ordinary. I think Charlotte Bronte was the most extraordinary person, apart from in her talent, in her incredible self-belief. The fact that she was able to pursue her dream of becoming a writer, even when she was discouraged. For example, in her early 20s, she wrote to the poet laureate and sent some of her poetry, and he wrote back saying, "Well, you're quite good, but literature isn't the business of a woman's life. You really should give up hopes of becoming a professional writer." Nevertheless, she persevered, and she always retained a real belief in the sort of God-given nature of her genius.
We know something about the actual shape of their lives. I mean, what's true? Who were they? How did they live?
The Bronte sisters were the three daughters of a clergyman. who lived in Haworth in Yorkshire. Their father, Patrick, had emigrated from Ireland, and he himself was an extraordinary man, a self-made man who came from a really impoverished peasant background, but had managed to get himself to Cambridge and from there into the Church of England clergy. And I think this example of their father's extraordinary ambition really fired the sisters. He himself was also a writer, although his poetry really isn't very good, but he really encouraged the literary precocity of his children, the three sisters together with their brother Branwell. In fact, they had two elder sisters who died in childhood, and their mother also died when they were children. And I think the psychological effect of this was to make these four surviving siblings bond together. And they did this through imaginative games that they played, which soon turned into literary endeavour. They'd write stories for their toy soldiers. And by the time they were into their teens, this had become quite a sophisticated literary business.
And then what happened as they grew up? How did they move from the juvenilia, the writings they did for their toy soldiers, into writing novels?
Charlotte Bronte always knew that she was going to have to earn her living. Her fantasy was that she'd be able to do this as a writer. But in actual fact, she had to go and work as a governess, which was something that she absolutely hated. Her other sisters, too, worked as governesses. Anne, in fact, the youngest sister, most successfully. In her mid-20s, Charlotte Bronte went with her sister Emily to study at a school in Brussels. This was ostensibly because they wanted to learn French and German to fit themselves better for the career as teacher. They wanted to start their own school. And what happened was that Charlotte met this extraordinary literature professor, Constantin Heger, who was the first teacher she'd had who really believed in her and set her real challenges of creative writing and really engaged with her mind. This became a very intense relationship, and in fact, she fell in love with him. Interestingly, Emily was always much, much more independent, and she didn't really like her work being criticised, and she really clung to her originality. But this had, I think, a huge effect on Charlotte, who up till then hadn't really been writing for an audience. It had been much more on a continuum with private fantasy. And it was after they got back from Brussels, their plan to start a school hadn't worked. Charlotte had been very depressed, writing these passionate letters of unrequited love to her professor. But what really sort of pulled her together was the decision that with her sisters they were going to publish a joint volume of poetry, which they did, and it was on the back of this, which wasn't a commercial success at all, it only sold two copies, but it gave them the confidence to start the novels which would eventually make them famous.
Hmm. When Jane Eyre in particular was first published, initially the reading public fastened on it and the critics said it was terrific, and then not that long after, over the course of maybe a year or so, the critics really turned on it. I mean, people were shocked. It was the kind of book nobody would give their daughter to read. You didn't even want to leave it out in the living room.
Absolutely. And this was because critics had begun to suspect that the author was a woman. And it was at this point that the accusations of immorality, lack of femininity, excessive passion, bad language, all these things began to be thrown at Charlotte Bronte. Interestingly, Elizabeth Gaskell, the novelist who became Charlotte's friend and later her biographer, even she wouldn't let her own daughter read it until she was grown up.
What was so shocking about Jane Eyre?
It was a combination of things. For a start, the language was considered to be coarse. I mean, expressions that, you know, we don't find at all offensive today, like damn, for example, were considered shocking then. And also, it was often thought that Charlotte Bronte would use biblical quotations in sort of inappropriate situations. But it was really the passion of the book and the assertiveness of the heroine as well that upset people. One critic in particular accused the book of fostering moral Jacobinism and Chartism, suggesting that it was written by a sort of left-wing radical, which Charlotte Bronte herself found funny because, in fact, politically, despite the fact that she was so radical in her fiction, politically she was a very reactionary Tory. But interestingly, even women who were more sort of proto-feminist at the time found Charlotte Bronte's portrayal of female erotic passion something that they couldn't really accept.
Part of what's so fascinating about the Bronte sisters is how how ultimately mysterious they are in a lot of ways. To what extent did the sisters themselves contribute to the kind of mysteriousness of their lives?
Well, Emily Bronte is genuinely mysterious, and the reason for this is that we have very, very little information about her. We don't have lots of letters. We have a few tiny little diary fragments. We don't have the manuscript of her unfinished second novel, which she was almost certainly working on at the time she died. And the reason we don't have these things is probably because Charlotte destroyed them in an act of sort of attempting to protect, I think, her sister after she died. Because Charlotte was very aware of the negative things that had been said about her sisters and about herself. And the way that she had portrayed her sisters after their deaths to the general public was really the beginning of the Bronte myth. She actually says explicitly the purpose of writing a short biographical notice of them is to wipe the dust off their gravestones and leave their dear names free from soil. She's literally doing a clean-up job, and she presents them as these simple country girls who really didn't know quite what they were doing when they wrote these shocking books. And it's really from Charlotte that the idea of Haworth as this incredibly isolated, out-of-the-way place inhabited only by rugged moorland squires and unlettered moorland hinds came about.
So it was Charlotte herself who was so concerned about the public image and how she and her sisters were regarded in public?
Yes, it was. Anne, the younger sister, whose novel The Tenant of Wildfell Hall was really the novel at the time that was almost considered the most shocking, because it's about a young woman who marries a man who turns out to be violent and abusive and drunk, and the way that she portrays this vice was considered to be revolting, in the words of one Victorian critic. And she actually, I think, felt very strongly about the way in which her work had been portrayed by the public. We know less about what Emily felt. I think that Emily was detached and rather sardonic in her attitude.
Hmm. Why was Charlotte so concerned with how the public saw her and her sisters? I mean, how did she want to be regarded?
Well, soon after her sisters had died, Charlotte finally agreed to accept some of the invitations that her publishers had been sending her to go down to London and make herself known in limited literary circles. She'd previously been hiding behind her pseudonym. One of the main reasons for this, I think, was that she was fascinated by the literary life and she wanted to see some of those glamorous figures whose books she'd read. And so she did have this desire to join the world, but then on the other hand, she remained socially the sort of respectable parson's daughter, and she just found it very excruciatingly embarrassing, really, to be sort of dug in the ribs, as it were, by sort of male writers who said, oh, you know, you've written a naughty book, haven't you? I think that you've got to remember that her family was only a generation or two away from quite a sort of impoverished lower class background, and I think she felt that she had to cling to her respectability for dear life.
So which do you think she was? I mean, the prim little respectable kind of shabby genteel governess sort of person that she presented herself as part of the time, or the very ambitious writer?
I think she was both, and I think she was very conscious of being both. I think she was aware of the fact that she didn't want to be lionized and sort of play up to the image of the fiery writer, and yet she knew that that's what she really was inside.
Lucasta Miller is the author of the book The Bronte Myth. She spoke with Anne Strangeshamps.